how sweet it is trusting you, Jesus. Oh, how sweet it is to trust in you, Jesus.
Good morning, everyone. So let's just take a moment and prepare our hearts for worship. Let's focus around God and all the things that He does for us. He's here right now with us. perfect Lamb of God between a broken-hearted mother at His feet. The pain of it all for me. The earth shakes, darkness falls, the Father hides His face. His body hits the dust of a borrowed grave. You paid it all for me, I thank you, for the cross. I praise you, without it I'd be lost. There's no love like your love. A thousand songs are not enough to say thank you. Thank you for the cross. My victory bursting from the grave, my risen King. The sacrifice for love was hell. Want it all for me, I thank you, for the cross. I praise you, without it I'd be lost. If there's no love like your love, a thousand songs are not enough to say thank you. Thank you for the call. For the Father, for the Son, for the power of your love, for the Spirit that's in us, for the blood that overcomes, for your life, for your death, for the hope that's still ahead. We sing thanks. For the power of your love, for the Spirit that's in us, for the blood that overcomes, for your life, for your death, for the hope that's still ahead. We say thank you. Oh, I thank you, thank you for the cross. I praise you. Without it I'd be lost. There's no love like your love. A thousand songs are not enough. There's no love like your love. A thousand songs are not enough to say thank you. Thank you for the cross.
Well, good morning, church. And everyone feeling good? We are, and I'm happy to report that we are trending in the right direction. I think this morning we were 8 degrees away from where we could be comfortably having our feet back in that beautiful white sand. Last weekend we were about 48 degrees away from that moment. And when we go back, and we are going back, and I'm bad at keeping secrets, the pastor will be having a very special message, and it's called titled How God Can Thaw Out Your Frozen Faith. That worked even better last night when I was looking in the mirror. Well, my name's Doug Hill, and it's just a joy to be your host. Welcome home, everybody. All you people looking at us online, watching online, welcome aboard. I'd ask you to go to the website, hopeonthebeach.com. And if you scroll down, I did it this morning because I was kind of curious. It's way down on the bottom, and it'll say bulletin. Download the bulletin, and it's just that easy to follow along with us here. And as you're watching, post something. Let us know you're out there. We love to acknowledge you and thank you for joining us today. In your hands are your worship folders. And as we say, it's all the news that's fit to print. In those folders are the words to the songs Roberto's going to be singing. It's outlined to the pastor's message, and there's some events. There's a lot of good hope events coming up, and on the back of that calendar, or on the folder, is the calendar, so you can know when to show up for those events. And the most important thing in there, though, is this little blue connection card. So if you pull that out and you look on the front, there's some information. Now, we connect. We do relationships here. And like yesterday, we had a men's breakfast, and it was great. So I connected with these other guys. So now they're my friends. Some of them might even be my 2 a.m. friend. So maybe one or two. And though yet I've yet to become a 2 a.m. friend because I'll be sleeping, this is just a great way to connect to the church. So if you could fill it out, we're very, very grateful for all that information. Pastor has a dynamite message today. I thought it was a typographical error, but it is correct. Hesed. And he's going to explain that. So I'm really looking forward to that. And we're just so grateful that you're here. Roberto is going to lead us. I would now... my wife is making... Oh, no. That's later, honey. That's later, honey.
Crunch.
So it's when your wife is making like hand signals to you, it's either the house is on fire or my zipper was down. Bad joke. So would you rise with us right now, please, and let's just engage in a little prayer. I saw a prayer this week which I loved, and just join me with it. God, we're here today. And we ask you just to give us the wisdom so we can recognize the difference between what we think is best for us and what your will is for our life. Let us just live our life in faith with sincerity and passion. And we ask this in your holy name. Amen. And so as we join in worship, let the love of God just bathe over you, and as his steadfast love just binds us all together.
Those that are new here, the lyrics are up on the screens, but also in your bulletins.
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall. But you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands, great is your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence, you never fail me yet. I know the night won't last, your word will come to pass. My heart will sing your praise again. Jesus, you're still enough. Keep me within your love. My heart will sing your praise again. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence, you never fail me, yeah. I've seen you move the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way, and I believe
see you do it again. I seen you move. You move the mountains, and I believe I see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way, and I believe I see you do it again. 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 Your promise. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. Never fail me. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail me. You never fail me. Yeah. I never will forget. You never fail me, yeah. I never will forget. Heavenly Father, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for being good to us. Thank you for your love, your kindness. We love you and we thank you. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am in, I will sing of the goodness of God. For I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest nights, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
God is good, amen? Hey, be seated. Good morning. Again, my name is Jason. I have the honor and privilege to be the senior pastor at Hope and Beach Church. Glad you're here with us. You know, my dog, Kate, she took a holiday. And by holiday, I mean that I let her out in the backyard like I normally do without a fence and at night. And she usually stays in the lighted area, but she kind of walked to the lighted area and kept walking and went, pew, went running. She took off on a holiday. And so I went out there and I'm calling her, Kate, come, Kate, yelling, and she's not coming. And I want to go to bed. So I am sad and mad at the same time. And she knows better. I mean, 98.99.8% of the time, she always stays. I mean, I take her to my parents. My parents only have, like, they're in a retirement community. They have, like, maybe a 20 by 10 yard in the backyard, no fence, right next to the neighbors, everything. And she walks out, stays in their backyard, and always comes in. She doesn't take holidays. And so she took this holiday, and I want to go to bed. So I called, and I'm like, that's it. Hope you enjoy the evening, because I'm going to bed. Shut the door and went in. I'm like, I'm done. I'm done with this. Now, before some of you call animal control, she's in my office. She's okay. You can go meet her after service and pet her. And in fact, you can take a breakfast treat to her. Off your plate. But in that moment, I was just done. And this is why we need the word from Hosea. Hosea shows us a God who keeps loving when love should have ended. God doesn't say, I'm finished with you. He says, it is finished. Just tell us that I paid in full. This is Hesed. And so I invite you, if you want to turn to the readings we have from Hosea today in your notes, or you can follow along the screen. We're going to start chapter 1, kind of jump around a little bit, chapter 2 and chapter 11. And so he says, and I will betroth you to me forever. I'll betroth you to me in righteousness and justice and steadfast love and mercy. I'll betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. And I will sow her for myself in the land. And I will have mercy on no mercy. And I will say to not my people, you are my people. And he shall say, you are my God. And when Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. The more they were called, the more they went away. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and burning offerings to idols. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up by their arms, but did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of kindness, with the bands of love, and I became to them as one who eases the yoke of their jaws. And I bent down to them and fed them. Number one in your notes, what is this hesed? What does that mean? What is this word? It's a Hebrew word, and that's why sometimes when you type it, it even kind of messes up on a little bit as you type it. It's not really an English word. It means covenant love that binds itself. It legally binds itself to another. In other words, God is refusing to let go of us. He's refusing to let go. When our daughter was young, she went through this season, and a season she would never let go of her stuffed dog. I mean, this little dog had to go everywhere with her. It was to the bedroom, to the bathroom, to the bathtub, to the backyard, to the back seat. I mean, everywhere we went, this dog had to go, and it got nasty. You know what I'm saying? And so we begged. We tried every little trick to get her to loosen up and for us to get the dog away from her. And the more we tried, the more she just clung to it. She wouldn't let it go. And that is a faint picture of Hesed. God is holding on tighter. The more we try to pull away, the more he's holding on to us. He says, I will betroth, verse chapter 219, I will betroth you to me forever. God is holding on tight. This is not some mere emotion or some conditional affection. It's hesed. It's covenant love. It's loyal. It's constant. It's binding. Self-giving. Costly. See, the Lord stays because he promised to stay. Exodus 34, 6, 7, we see this. The Lord, Yahweh, Yahweh. I mean, he's repeating his name. This is incredible emphasis on my name. God and merciful and gracious, abounding in steadfast love. That is hesed, abounding in hesed and faithfulness. God is not a reactionary, emotional person of just reacting to the moment. He's a God of commitment, of covenantal. See, sin doesn't change his love. How many times, I've heard this so many times, and if you're like me, you probably even thought it yourself. You sin, you become aware of that sin, and suddenly you start to think, God must love me less. And that thought comes in. And when you see somebody else's life on the other side doing well, the thought comes in, God must love them more. God has favorites, we think. And the answer is no, he doesn't. This is the work of the devil. This is the work of shame, what it does to us. I like a pastor I was listening to at a conference, and he was sharing how he was ministering to people in their sins, especially those with sexual addictions. And he said, I tell them, when you sin, call me right there. Call me right away. And at first, it seems a little odd. But he said, because shame never produces repentance, only grace does. And in that moment of sin, they need to hear grace. Because if not, the shame will take them deeper and deeper and deeper into that sin. So I tell you, church, when you're in the middle of sin, call me. Call an elder. Call a 2 a.m. friend. Call someone. Call me. So you hear the hesed of God. That his love hasn't changed, even though you think it and feel it in this moment because of the regret, the guilt, the shame. But you need to hear the hesed. So often what happens, what? We hide. And we hide this sin until it blows up, and then you can't hide it anymore. And then they come into the office and say, hey, pastor, this happened. Call right away before it blows up. Remember the old favorite hymn? It's not that old, I guess, but what a friend we have in Jesus. You know the hymn, it says, oh, what a peace we forfeit, oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything in prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus. And Jesus is God. And God gave Jesus himself to the church. Why? Because we, the church, are that extension of Hesed. That's what we're to be. So in the midst of his sin, in the midst of the terrible day, whatever it call, and receive the Hesed. Because number two, the unfaithful bride and the wandering child. God says, the more I called them, the more they went from me. That's a simple sentence, but can you just feel the weight of it? The more to call, the more to went away from me. This is a God, our Father, who's suffering, watching his children wander away. This is God the Father who taught them how to walk, who taught them, who reared them, who healed them, who carried them. And he provided for their needs and more some. And yet he sits back. The God of perfect love is sitting there looking at his children and say, the more I call them, invite them, the more they went from me. Some of you as parents know this pain too well. And you're thinking, do I give up? Do I stop calling? Do I stop encouraging? Because it just seems the more I do, the farther they go away. And what did God our Father do? He kept calling them. God keeps calling you. He keeps calling us. He keeps calling them. He doesn't command. He calls. He invites. So our role is just to find a way to call, find a way to invite, and not to order. God doesn't order. Isaiah captures the same kind of thing. He says, where God's broken heart. He says, children, I have reared and brought up, but they have rebelled against me. And perhaps the words of Isaiah doesn't just apply when we look at us as parents, but we can look in our own life and understand we had seasons of rebellion. In fact, I often say we're all prodigals. Some way in our life, we have said, God, you're dead to me. God, everything that you have for me, I want as mine so I can be the boss of my life. I can run my life the way I want, and I can go enjoy the life, and I can make my choices to have fun and do what I want and experience the world and or make lots of money and pursue other things and not miss out on all the good things around here. And see, some of you, you did that, and you dipped your toe into that water, and you're like, oh, nope, got out of it. Others, you've been trying to have the world and the church, and you've got a foot in each canoe. It just depends on what the situation is. And others, you jump fully right into it till you hit bottom and it hurts. Then, like, I probably don't want to swim in this pool. Either way, it all ended the same. Emptiness. With no satisfaction. Because why? Because, A, we don't just break rules. We like to make it we're just breaking rules. It really doesn't matter. No, we break trust. We break a relationship with our Father. Romans 3:10, Paul writes, look, no one understands. No one seeks God. Left on our own devices, we don't seek. We don't understand. We do not remain faithful to God on our own. Even when God is endlessly faithful to us, on our own, we will still walk away. And the good news is, God's Hesed speaks louder than our sin. It speaks louder than our sin. I love Ezekiel 18:23. You know, God says, Have I any pleasure in death of the wicked? And not rather he should turn and live? God is inviting. He's not going to force love and obedience because that's not love. But what he is going to do is he's going to try to draw us to his goodness. He's going to reveal his goodness to us that we might be drawn to it and say, wow, there is something better. There is something greater. See, when the prodigal son was in the slop of the pigs and he was hurting and he was down low and broken, his heart got awakened. And what did he say? He said, you know, he noticed to his father's goodness. And he noticed his father's goodness. It wasn't directed to him. Who was it directed to? His workers. Because my father's workers have it better than I do. Maybe I can go back and be a worker. Now, it doesn't say this in the text, but when I was thinking about it, when he's saying that, you know, he's kind of looking at it going, you know, I look at my father and her, and I can see now objectively, not subjectively my relationship because I got so emotional with my father, but as I look at my father's relationship with his workers, the workers make mistakes, and yet my father still is good to them. And perhaps my father will accept my mistakes, my sins, my mess, and share his goodness with me, and I could just have the goodness of a worker back in the home. And that goodness drew him, that he got out of the slop and headed back, that he could once again experience the love of his father. Hosea says in 2:19, in a little section, he says three times and multiple times throughout the whole thing, God says, I betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, steadfast love and mercy. God is saying, I will, over and again, I will. He is the actor. He is the keeper of hesed. He is the giver of hesed. He is always constantly bringing his hesed to us. And it's not like, hey, I'll give you hesed if you return to me. No, he is giving his hesed. He is giving his goodness whether we return or not. It's not something that we are earning. It's not something that we get as a reward for turning back. No, it's a decoration God puts on us. He declares hesed on you. And what happens to the prodigal son? Before the son can finish his confession, his father runs to him. And he embraces his son and declares him a son. Not just to the son, but to the whole community. Put sandals on his feet. Give him a ring. Give him a robe. That's markings of a son. You're not a servant, you're a son. You will always be my son, even in your sin. That's hesed. Love that enters into the mess and embraces it. See, for Christ is hesed in flesh and blood. He is the hesed revealed to us. Hosea says, out of Egypt I called my son, saying for the father. So God called Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery, to be his son, to be his child. To be the one through the nation of Israel that would save the world. Right? Israel, to be the city on the hill, to be a light to the world, through all the darkness, that they all would know who Yahweh is, the all-powerful, all-loving God. And yet, they failed miserably. And so, in this little quote, what we're seeing in Matthew 2:15, this is kind of a prophecy that there would come a son that he draws up out of Egypt. Jesus came up out of Egypt back in the Galilee. Why was in Egypt? Because of persecution of King Herod. Remember, the three wise men came, they brought those gifts. part of that gift was to help a poor family get out of town into safety. And so they went into Egypt, and then he gets drawn out up of Egypt. And so Jesus, God's son, comes to do what Israel could not do, to live God's will perfectly. While Israel rebelled, Christ obeyed. He kept a covenant. Israel broke faith. Christ was faithful. He was faithful for them. He was faithful for us. Psalm 85:10, steadfast love and faithfulness meet. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. That's a pretty picture, isn't it? That's a Christ. So why has God been so long-suffering? Why? Martin Luther says it this way, that I may be his own and live under his kingdom. God is a God of hesed, who loves and loves his children who wandered away, and he's longing for them to come home, to be under his protection and care. However, sin comes with a punishment. As we talked about it, God is holy and he's just, and he can't just wink, wink at the sin. He can't just dismiss the sin. Just because he loves us and wants us and say, hey, there's no consequences to anything. But here's the difference. He takes on the consequences. Number five, the cross is where hesed reaches its limit and breaks through. We all know what it's like to feel outrage. We see it a lot in the media. We feel that something must be paid for. Multiply that by infinity, and you begin to understand God's justice towards sin. Sin is sin. Little or big makes him just as mad. No sin is free. And what does Scripture say? Isaiah 53, 5, 6 reminds us that the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Lord has laid the punishment, the penalty for our sin on Christ of us all. Of us all who have been and all who are and all who will be has been laid on Christ. It's no wonder Jesus yells from the cross, God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because God left him. God punished him with the hell you and I deserve. See, A, hesed doesn't ignore sin. It answers it. There is sin. There is punishment. But here's the answer. God is hesed, and he gives his son, Jesus Christ, for you to pay the price. His son, Jesus, the one who he's loved, has known, has been there since infinity. Always. Before there was time, there was God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They were there together as one and have always been. And yet here in sin, they get torn apart for you. Who's rebelled to be brought back. You know, I kind of like this little saying I came up with, so just I'm enjoying it right now, so I'm sorry. Just the visual of it. God doesn't have gator arms when the check comes. The check comes, he doesn't look the other way. He isn't mysteriously absent all of a sudden in the bathroom. He's not sitting back looking at you to pay it. He reaches out and pays it. See, God knows we're living a life we can't pay for. We can't write that check. But he's willing and able and does. Even while we are still sinners who are hopeless and helpless, he doesn't condemn, he saves. And he says, it is finished. Paid in full. You can go freely. See, that's why the gospel is an encouragement. The gospel is an encouragement. It's a verdict. it's not a little encouragement that like, hey, you can do better, you can be a better person. You know, if you just had Tony Robbins 24/7, you could really be the best you, you know? No. It's a verdict to say, while you are guilty, Christ has taken your guilt, has taken your punishment, and you have been declared. A verdict from the judge of all judges, your heavenly Father, has declared you innocent. You are forgiven of your sins. You are set free from death and Satan. And what? You have been given eternal life. To live now and forever. Amen? And number six, what does it have said do? Our identity is restored. This is not in your notes, but Isaiah 2:23, it's up in the reading. I didn't get it over here for some reason. It says, I will say to not my people, you are my people. God doesn't just, God doesn't rehabilitate us. He reclaims us. He's not coming to try to fix, but he reclaims us as his child. It goes more about being than our doing. He is reclaiming our brokenness and our sin and our mess, and he's given us this identity that we are his children. We are the objects, as Paul would say, you are my beloved. You are the object of my hesed, my love, my steadfast love for you. This is our relationship. Because this is our relationship, you now have a future. See, it's in baptism. In baptism, the waters of baptism, God's promise that he brings the work of Christ, his hesed. And it's like God applies hesed right to our name. And he says, you are mine. You're my child. God justifies and declares us before we do anything of obedience, before we do any improvement. He says God names us his. Because it's only by his hesed are we saved. Not our work, not our merit. I mean, the early church, they understood this, the value of a name. And some of you get this, that like a name carries a lot of weight, especially certain communities. God's name carries a weight to it, an importance. And so the early church, when they were baptized, understood that God put his hesed on their name, and they would actually change their last name to Christian, because that was the family of most importance, that they were in Christ's family. That they were in this covenant of hesed. And number seven, it's living in hesed then. See, the wedding ring doesn't make a marriage. It testifies to the marriage. It doesn't make it. It shows you that you're married. It says marriage, but it doesn't make it. Obedience doesn't create a covenant. It flows from it. We are called to remember our baptism daily. That we have this old Adam in us that wants to wander away. And so by daily contrition and repentance, we drown that old Adam. We drown the child of rebellion and wrath that wants to wander off and do its own thing. Why? So the Christ that is in me, the hesed that is in me, may live out through me. This is why Paul says, it is no longer I who live. No longer the rebellious child. But Christ, hesed, who lives in me. What do we pray in the Lord's Prayer? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done. Let your will be done in me. Let your hesed live in me and through me. Why is this so important? Because we are experts at walking away from God. And God is relentlessly binding himself to us. And Hosea shows us that breaks God's heart. And it breaks his heart, but it also shows us he loves us anyway. And this is Hesed. And this is Jesus. And this is for you. Look at a memory verse. Let's read together. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. He cannot deny his love, his hesed. He stays faithful. So here's the bottom line, the way I like to summarize it. Even when you let go of God, even when you let go of God and start to wander and walk away, even when you let go of God, in Jesus, God never lets go of you. He never lets go of you. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are always faithful in your love, that you are always true to your word, and you're constantly wanting to hold on to us and bring us ever tighter with you. But you're God, you're like this gentleman. You don't force, you invite, you show your goodness to win our hearts. And how much more goodness must you show that you have poured out your son for us? Your good, good son for the bad children, so to speak. That we could be free and know your goodness and live in it and share in it. And what we have now is a foretaste to what goodness is ahead. It's unmanageable. John can't even put words in human terms for us to understand how goodness, your great goodness is in heaven. And yet by faith, kind of know, and we hope and we long to experience it with you. And so, Lord, help us be a people of Hesed. Let us not forget your Hesed. Let not the voices or Satan ever divide or tear it apart, but let us be always in your Hesed. And so, Lord, it is as your children that we call to you, because we know you're God of Hesed who hears our prayers. And our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Fantastic message. I mean, do you ever feel like you're unredeemable? Do you see where God goes? Prostitutes, adulterers, thieves, liars, and then he just comes and reclaims us. So lean into that. That was that message, that covenant love is so powerful, it'll never break. You know, we've been singing, all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been good, so good. So we get to continue our worship to show our faithfulness with our offerings. How we can, with just hearts bursting with gratitude and joy, just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for reclaiming me. Thank you for, like, pulling me out of some of the darkness that sometimes we all like to fall into. So in your worship envelope, you'll see the offering envelope. You can put your offering in there. There's other ways how to give. There's a QR code. In a minute, I'm going to invite you down to put it in the trays up here. And just like with a joyful heart, we appreciate your steadfast faithfulness. I'm going to take you back to the connection card. That's also going to come up here too. There's a very important message. Next week, I looked at the weather. It said 60% chance of rain, but it's going to be 63 degrees. So we're going to go out there with umbrellas. But it's going to be at, and I'm going to be very possessive here, it's my beach. Fort Panic Beach. It's the one, it's not Stinky's Beach, it's the one right down from it. There's a plaque with my name up there. I used to run chairs and umbrellas there. I love that beach. So the pressure's on you, Pastor, for really, you know, pulling a solid message together on my beach. But let me just tell you, after service today, again, this church eats. There's breakfast, and it's going to be a fantastic breakfast. You'll see some other events coming up here. You see, again, they're all centered around food, so show up. It's just great, great times connecting with people here at the church. So I'll now invite you to bring your worship envelopes up here, and we're going to continue worshiping with some more fantastic songs. And we will see you all next week on the beach.
I do want to bring attention to just one thing. The Lenten family event is so special, and we have an event just for the kids, and so I really encourage you to be here. It's just a wonderful event. Feel free to bring your offering up to the plate. He is jealous for me. Loves like a hurricane. I am a tree. Bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. Oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. He is jealous. He is jealous for me. Loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. Oh, when all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, oh, I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. We are his portion, he is our prize, drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. If grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. So heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss. My heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way he loved us. Oh, how he loved us. Oh, how he loved us. Oh, how he loved. Yeah, he loved us. Oh. Believe it? Yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. Yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. thank you for your wonderful love, your gift of grace, and your mercy that renews every day. Just we humble ourselves to you. We pray that you guide our steps this week, our words, our thoughts. We love you. So as you go today, receive this blessing here at Hope on the beach. We put our hands out just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May he look upon you with favor and give each and every one of you peace. Amen. God bless. Enjoy the breakfast right there at the bistro.